We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Emmanuel Lutheran in Waterloo, Illinois.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens, Illinois. And Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois, by the way. Not Darmstadt, Germany. That would be quite a commute, wouldn't it?
A long commute in between services.
Between services, yeah, no. Actually, we're just about 8 miles apart there. Darmstadt's kind of in the middle of nowhere, a community about 500 people, if that much. And New Athens ain't much bigger. We've got 2,000 people. How many people we got there in Waterloo, man?
We've got about 10,000.
So there you go. We could put both of our cities, and we'd still have extra room there for you at Waterloo and everything. But we're all having fun where we're at, aren't we, man?
That's right. You bet we are.
We were real serious last week, and rightfully so. And by the way, I want to say something about what you said last week in just a second, but just so people don't think we've abandoned our tagline of putting the fun in the fundamentals, I just happen to have, this is from my father-in-law, and you know how it is, you really need to, if your father-in-law sends you something to use on the show, you really ought to use it.
You should probably use it.
Yeah, so this is from Jerry, and it's amazing simple home remedies.
Well,
and
that's helpful.
And we want to do practical stuff.
Well, sure.
Yeah. So here's number one. Avoid cutting yourself when slicing vegetables. Have you ever had that problem?
Well, yeah, you've got a sharp knife, the vegetable's kind of slippery,
yeah.
You never know.
Blood starts squirting out and stuff. But here's a simple way to avoid that. You avoid cutting yourself when slicing vegetables by getting someone else to hold the vegetables while you chop. It's a no-brainer.
Simple solution.
How come I never thought about that before? Lynn, come here. Would you hold the carrots for me? There's some here that I can't use, but they are very funny, Jerry. Thank you. But I don't think we can use them on our radio show. A mouse trap placed on top of your alarm clock will prevent you from rolling over and going back to sleep after you hit the snooze button.
I imagine so.
Okay.
Quit making things up.
And here's just a couple of practical hints. This I know of being an old guy, but you'll learn this through experience. Matt, you need only two tools in life, WD-40 and duct tape. If it doesn't move and should, use the WD-40. If it shouldn't move and does, use the duct tape. And one final thought, if you can't fix it with a hammer, you've got an electrical problem. Okay, thank you.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
All right.
Those are helpful.
They
hints.
Were. And
that's
they
great.
Simple things. You get just with stuff you have around your house.
I know, look at that. I mean, you could accomplish anything.
Well, yeah,
with
you
that.
Probably need to look some of the other suggestions. I'll give that to you.
Oh, thanks. I'll look those over off the air.
Off the air, yeah. So anyway, here's the thing I was reflecting, Matt, that I really liked about what you did last. We didn't do anything funny last week because that's not what our primary goal is, to be funny. Our primary goal in this show, having done this now for over 25 years, is to let people know that God loves them. And better than that, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again so they can be absolutely sure that God forgives them. And I tell you what, buddy, I love you because you're doing this very, very serious topic of abortion, which is a sad, sad thing, and the statistics are just overwhelming. But you've felt this need at the end to let people know if you've had an abortion, God loves you. God forgives you. And I appreciate that because that's what this show is all about. Of course, we cannot avoid the guidance the Word of God gives us. That would be foolish, right?
Yeah,
just like
bet.
It'd be foolish not to try to train your children up by the Word of the Lord because, you know, you go your own way and man, you might end up feeding pigs and being hungry enough to eat the pigs.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's what happens. It's in the Bible. But, of course, the thing we want people to know is that if you find yourself in that situation, God still loves you. He just would open his arms and welcome you. So I thank you for reminding us of that last week when we did that very difficult subject of abortion. Thank you, Matt.
You bet. And we need that reminder, too. I mean, listeners, everyone listening is a sinner, but the people here that are broadcasting from Studio B right now are sinners, too. Yeah, Pastor John and Pastor Matt.
Well, in fact, Matt, off the air when we were done, because one of the points we made is that it's a violation of the Fifth Commandment. Thou shalt not murder. Yeah. Let's not. Yeah, that's what it is. But then, what did you say after we got off air?
Well, if we take Jesus' words seriously, we've all broken the Fifth Commandment. What does he say? That even if you anger, you know, even if you harbor anger or hate your brother, it's just as good as broken. It's just this is murder. You are a murderer.
Yeah. And of course, see, that's the thing. That's what we got to be careful about, because abortion. Yeah, that's evil and wicked. But then you're right. We don't take that other passage seriously, because that's what Jesus said, though. That's what it said. And that's what we have to wrestle with it in our hearts, is this attitude that life is about me. Life is about what's good for me, what is a benefit. I don't want any sacrifices. I don't want any difficulties. And if murder is a way of getting out of that, well, you know, if anger and hatred is a thing that makes me feel better. But no, that's all evidence that we're sinners, which is why there needs to be shows like ours to remind people that there is an answer, and that is in the forgiveness of sins in Christ. I'm sharing this because that's what we're going to do today, Matt. We're going to kind of clean up some details from the past.
All right, great.
If you don't mind.
Very good.
We took a break last week to talk about the whole issue of Roe versus Wade and abortion, but there are actually some things we probably need to talk about from some episodes we did the last few weeks. This comes courtesy of my wife.
Oh, very good.
Okay. by the way, do you...
No surprise there.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but do you ever listen to the show afterwards, after we recorded
it? Yeah, I sure do.
Okay. Because it's kind of part of our life. Lynn and I, we get up a little later on Saturday mornings, maybe 8 o'clock, 8:30, and then we're sure to be there right at the radio to hear our broadcast at 9:05. Which I'm not always sure that's a good thing to do, because my wife is an... Well, your wife's an editor too, isn't she?
Yeah, we're married to those type of women. Yeah,
so does she ever do that? Does she ever say, you know, actually, the correct grammatical phrase here would have been this, or does she do any of that? Or she, now that you're a young couple, is she more polite than my wife is?
It depends. It depends. You know, she tries to hold her tongue sometimes. I can usually tell. But
okay. Yeah. And by the way, I love you, Lynn. I love you dearly. Because I know you're going to be listening to this in a couple of weeks on a Saturday morning while I'm laying next to you in bed. So,
but I got to tell you, we listen to it as a family, the show.
Oh, yeah, so you've got kids.
So I've got the kids, too. Yeah. And our youngest, Anna, who's 5, she's made puppets of Pastor Lukumsky and Daddy. So sometimes as the show's on, she acts out with the puppets.
With the puppets. Oh, I'm impressed.
So I've got the audio and the visual.
Could you send me a picture? Maybe we could post a picture.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Of the puppets. I just wonder how I look as a puppet. That's what I'm wondering. And I wonder how you look as a puppet, too.
Well, I think we both came out looking pretty good.
Do we? Okay. Your puppet doesn't have any hair on its head, does it, Matt?
No, it doesn't. Okay. She stayed pretty true to life.
Yeah. As the Bible says, some men are bald by choice, other men are bald because they have to be that way. But you're by choice. Your partner before you, Paul, he had no options. So anyway, here's the thing that my wife pointed out from our previous episodes. She pointed out that the animals actually were not in the manger. Because we were talking about the latest pope has said that, and again, he's right. Biblically speaking, there's no mention of animals actually being there, and but it's not in the manger. They weren't in the stable, in the feeding trough.
They weren't in the feeding trough. They're the stable.
Because it would be kind of hard for them to actually be in the manger, and no, that isn't how a manger works. You're outside of it. You're eating that. And I've made that mistake, too. Maybe you have, too, where we talked about the baby born in the manger.
Uh-huh.
No, he wasn't born in the manger. No. He was born someplace outside the manger, and then he was
placed into the manger at some other point.
And if you go down to Bethlehem, actually, that's the way it is. They're in the temple of the whole, or not the temple, the church of the Holy Nativity, because there is a spot there where the baby was born. They have it marked by a star. You can look through the star and actually see the spot on the ground where the baby was born. I'm not sure how that was determined. I don't think I want to know. And then off to the side a little bit, there is another little chapel, and that's where supposedly the manger lay. Okay. So my wife has a point there. So Lynn, I hope that corrects that. Another thing she pointed out, actually, though, that was in affirmation of some things I said in church that I didn't say on the radio show, the whole issue about whether the inn was a public inn, like a hotel, like the Ramada Inn, or whether the inn there was simply a guest room in one of their relatives' houses. I'm opting for the old tradition that it was like a hotel,
mm-hmm.
and there was no room for them in mm-hmm. that hotel, and that's why they ended up in the public manger.
Sure.
And my argument for that would be, when the angel says you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, were the shepherds alarmed at that? Or did it bother them that that's what the situation was? Let me ask you, what was the shepherds' response to that fact that this will be a sign to you, you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling?
Sure. All we're told is they leave. They go in haste
to
seek that baby out.
And so if we're talking about now the basement, because that's the logic, that the guest room was filled, so they were sent down to the basement of the house where animals might have been kept, a storage mm-hmm, room and mm-hmm. stuff. But that would have involved the shepherds going from door to door. Going,
is this the place?
Yeah. You got a babe in a manger down? There, yeah, you got a babe in your basement, you know, and I'm thinking, no, I doubt that you're going to do that as a shepherd. But if you knew that it was this public facility, sure, you would jump at that chance. You maybe kept sheep there in the past when the weather was bad, so that again, and she liked that argument. She said, John, you need to mention that on air.
Good. Okay. Yeah, maybe when there was no vacancy, that was maybe was a common practice. I don't know. To find the next best thing.
Yeah,
or the next
well, at least
best
it was
thing
dry.
Is
it was dry.
Stable.
It was out of the wind, you know, out of the rain if it was raining. Who knows? Then the other thing that we actually said we were going to talk about 2 weeks ago that we didn't do because we took it as a special episode is I did want to talk about the difference between a sign versus symbol. So can we do that for a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Because that's what it was, right? They said, this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Oh, by the way, people love the swaddling clothes bit.
Oh,
you were talking about your little children, you know, making puppets of the two of us. One of the little kids afterwards, they went home and they took their baby doll and they called the baby doll Jesus. And they said, Mommy, could you help me wrap it up real tight in the blanket? Because the kids appreciated that. That's what we do to people we love. We hold them. We wrap them up tight. We swaddle them. That's a sign of our love. And we'll get back to that in a second, because that's the other thing I want to do is look at Ezekiel 14. But first of
Wonderful.
All, sign versus symbol. Here is the official Lukumsky definition. I'm sure someday this will be written down in some scholarly work. Along with
Don't
my suggestion.
Don't you know sarcasm when you hear it?
Thank you, Matt. A symbol is a representation of something that's not there.
Okay.
We celebrated Christmas in Korea this year. We're going to try to get back to that. We used to do that years ago, where every year we'd take a country and we'd kind of follow their Christmas traditions.
Oh, as a congregation?
As a congregation, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
We got a little Korean girl, adopted my grandchild, so we thought that'd be kind of a neat place to begin. Where do your ancestors hail from?
Well, kind of all over the place.
Is that right?
Yeah, Slovakia.
All right, well, maybe we'll
Germany,
do a Slovakia Christmas in honor of you next year.
Yeah, okay.
So if you'd start doing some research on that for us.
Yeah, I've got my mom's maiden name was Dunacek.
Oh, okay. Talk to your mom.
Over in St. Lucas, Slovak Lutheran congregation here in St. Louis.
Find out what kind of things the Slovaks did. See, I'm giving you the assignment. I'm giving you the work.
Well, I've got a whole year to do it, though.
Okay. So anyway, I forgot what we were talking about. We were doing Korea.
Okay.
And so one of the traditions we found out in Korea is they have a blue Santa Claus rather than a red Santa Claus.
Huh.
Actually, since then we found out that maybe that was just something we learned on the internet. That's not true.
That's where that song Blue Christmas came from.
That's right, from the Korean. It's actually a Korean song. Well, we found out that actually it's more of a grandfather figure, but it is part of their Christmas that you have a fella dressed up in blue and usually has a little top hat and stuff like that.
Oh, sure.
But, of course, can you get a blue Santa outfit here at Trebo's in Belleville?
It might be a little tough.
Yeah, there are no blues. So what we did is we had a picture of this guy that we pulled off the internet. But, see, that's a symbol. We didn't really have a blue Santa, couldn't find a blue Santa, but we had an image, a picture, a representation of the blue Santa. That's what's different about a sign. So this is where people get confused, because people think signs are kind of like symbols. But no, a sign is actually just the opposite. A sign is something that is the evidence that something is there. Okay? It's not absent. It's actually present. Now, the problem is, however, you cannot see it. Okay?
Okay.
So you have to believe it, but the sign is the evidence that what you were told is true. So what did the angels tell the shepherds first about what had happened that day? Who was born that day?
A Savior.
Yeah.
Christ the Lord.
The Lord, okay? Now, the problem is he's not going to look the way you would figure Christ the Lord's going to look. I'm not sure how he's going to look when he shows up at the end, but it's probably going to be a little bit hairy. You know what I'm saying? Because everyone's going to see him, and he's going to come with his angels and stuff. You know, I don't think we'll have to tell anybody that the Lord has returned.
Yeah.
Okay? Somehow, when that happens, I think we'll all know that.
Yeah.
But see, that's the problem. So how does this? How does the Christ, the Savior, the Lord appear at the Christmas scene?
As a child in the manger.
Yeah. So that's why it's a sign. But it's still a sign because the angel said, this is it. This is a sign. You'll find him, a child wrapped in swaddling clothes in a very, very strange place in a manger. And that's the sign we're giving you. Now, of course, you're just going to have to believe the words of the angels. That's how it is. And then I got to thinking, this is the whole pattern throughout the Bible. Jesus can do miracles, but did it ever occur to you that miracles really seldom accomplish anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. People see the miracles, and they just maybe want more miracles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, man, that's such a great insight, Matt. So you give miracles, and then we want more miracles, more signs. Or the other reaction is, now we start to hate you so much, we want to kill you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
Honestly, is that what happens? He raises John the Baptist, or not John the Baptist.
Well, Lazarus.
Thank you.
Is the one, yeah, so...
Oh, I'm glad you caught that. Otherwise, I would hear about that.
John the Baptist.
That's right.
Carrying his hat around.
That's right. He raised Lazarus from the dead.
Holy cow.
Thank you. And immediately the Jewish leaders thought, well, this is just too much. Yeah. We need to kill him.
And Lazarus. Both of them.
That's
Jesus
right.
And I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People don't realize that. That was the original plan. Let's kill them both. Anyway, so back to the subject. So basically, maybe that's how God works. He does things. He gives us signs. And you maybe won't be able to see them and understand them, but you'll know they're signs because God's told you they're signs. All right. Now we also did the whole story of the Magi. That's right, Lynn. It's Magi, not Magi. She loves that.
She loves that one, too.
She loves that, yeah. Because it's the plural of magus, she would say. Anyway.
I'm taking Lynn's word for it.
What's
She's
the sign?
She's usually right.
What's the sign those guys had?
The star.
Okay. And again, we're all at, but do you realize that's not significant? Don't you think there's things that astronomers see that are astounding in the sky all the time? You know, what? Oh, here, I had a list of them. Do I have a list of it here? Yeah, comets. We're seeing comets all the time.
Yeah.
Novas. You know what a nova is?
Like a big star, right?
That's an exploding star.
Exploding star.
Yeah, how about that?
Supernovas are those
they're
big
super,
exploding
big
stars?
I guess so. There you go. There's about 158 years, there's a conjunction of Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars. So these three big planets, and they come so close together, they would look like one big, great star. Okay? So here's my point. These guys are seeing spectacular things in the heavens.
All the time.
Yeah. But do they pack up their bags and head out to Judah?
No.
No. Why not? So what's the difference with this particular star? You know?
Yeah. Well... somehow they know it's connected to the King of the Jews.
Yeah.
And so that's who they're seeking out.
They were reading through the Bible? What is that? If I got that here, I should have wrote that down too. Yeah, Numbers chapter 24 that says, a star shall come out of Jacob and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. So yeah, for them it was the word of God that's made this what was a spectacular star, no doubt. In fact, that's the thing. We don't know what it was, supernova or whatever. But they saw something, but it was the word of God that said, hey, something's happening in Judah. That's what this star signifies. Something big is going on in Judah.
And that's what gets them, the word of God is what gets them to the manger.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, yeah. The religious leaders have to look it up in Jerusalem, and they see this prophecy that in Bethlehem, that's where the Savior's coming, and so they head out there. So even the star only gets them so far, it looks like.
Star disappears. And again, but the scripture will give them the exact direction. Mm-hmm. And by the way, what always tickles me is after they have the scripture that they go to Bethlehem, guess what comes back?
Looks like the star appears again.
Star appears again. Okay. So here's the point I'm trying to make, although it's probably too late for that. This is how God works. He's given us signs all the time. But unfortunately, apart from the Word of God, we don't understand that they're signs. Do you realize that today, when we get done with these three episodes, by the way, I hope people appreciate this, that we're sitting here doing three episodes so that there will not be an empty Saturday on this month that has five Saturdays.
That's right.
Am I kind of whiny? Am I sounding whiny here? Because we could have taken a week off, but not us.
Not us.
There's the significance. You and I are going to go out and eat, and we're just going to take that for granted. But you realize the fact that there will be food before us and that there will be drink to drink before us. This is a sign from God. this is a blessing the Lord has given us. We just take it for granted. But no, because it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to have food to eat and drink to drink.
Yeah.
This didn't come by any miracle or wonder work that we perform. This is, again, God who takes one piece of wheat and multiplies it and makes it 1,000 pieces of wheat. Is that crazy? You can put it in the ground and it comes back as 1,000 of them?
Yeah.
But we don't understand any of that. We wouldn't know that if the Word of God hadn't taught us that the Word provides food for all of His creatures. God provides, rather, food for all of His creatures. Now, could you, real quick, we've got 2 minutes left here. Open up, would you, Exodus 16. Oh, here, okay. You don't need to.
Or Ezekiel?
Ezekiel, yeah, I'm sorry. Let's go. I wanted to, as we wrap up things, I want to go back to that passage about swaddling clothes again. There's somewhere in Ezekiel, what is it, 16, 7,
okay.
Whatever. You got it there?
Yeah, Ezekiel 16, verse 4.
Yeah.
And as for your birth, on the day when you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling cloths.
Okay. I just wanted to finish that story for people because go home and read. What's that chapter again, Matt?
Ezekiel chapter 16.
Yeah, go home and read it because this is such a touching story. So God says, when I found you people, you were nothing. Nobody loved you. They threw you out in the dump heap. They didn't even bother to wash you off. Didn't even bother to swaddle you. But I did that for you because you're precious. It goes back to what you were talking before last week, see? This is what we've got to understand. That little babe inside the womb, God loves that baby. He cares for that child. That's important to Him. But anyway, what's neat is the story goes on to say that he ends up marrying this child. He marries Israel. And what does Israel do? Israel goes off a whoring.
Unfaithful.
As the Bible says. Yeah, he goes after all these other gods. The gods that didn't love him, didn't care for him when they were born, wasn't there when they needed him. But for some reason, they go running off all these gods, you mm-hmm. know? And I'm thinking, wow, if I were the Lord, I'd say, well, then forget you.
Yeah.
I loved you. I cared for you. But no, I don't want anything to do with you. But what's so neat about the end of that chapter, do I have the passage there that talks about his love? I hope I wrote that down.
Yeah, let's see here. Ezekiel 16, 62 to 63.
Well, read it. Okay. Let's hope it's the right passage.
I will establish my covenant with
you. Ah, that is the one, yes.
Perfect. And you shall know that I am the Lord, that you may remember and be confounded and never open your mouth again because of your shame. When I atone for you, all that you have done, declares the Lord God.
So there it is. And that's what's so tremendous. Even though these people had gone off and worshipped other gods and abandoned the God who loved them and cared for them from birth, He still loves and cares and forgives and establishes this covenant with them. And nothing's going to change His will or His mind. And I do want to go back to this whole abortion issue, if we can go full circle here. Because my understanding is when people have had abortions, they often do struggle with terrible, terrible guilt over that
mm-hmm.
as they reflect on what they did. And I don't know how I can help you people, but tell you, look, God still loves you as much as He ever did. And that's the beautiful story I wanted to share with Ezekiel. Because here we have people that God really has no reason to love. He tried to love them. He cared for them. And instead, they just got up and abandoned Him. But in the end, He says, no, this is my commitment. That's why I loved you from the beginning. That's why I will love you to the end. There's nothing you can do to stop this love and care and compassion of God. I don't want to give a false image here. I mean, it is possible for us to say, no, God. We can always refuse the love of God. That's a tragic thing about love. And those of us in our day-to-day lives know that. We have people we love, and they just don't want us to love them. That's all there is to. And there's no way we can force that love on them. But if you're looking for the love and the forgiveness and mercy of God, let me tell you, that's what He's looking for, too. That's what He's looking for, too. And His attitude and His desire, His concern for us will never, ever change. And that's what this show is all about. And starting in a few weeks, we're going to have a special feature that's going to focus just on that idea of the God of love and the God
Great.
Of gospel. But we'll talk more about that next week.
Good. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yep.
Beautiful. And we'll see you next week.